Now, when was the last time you were confronted by the charity minions of Greenpeace or Amnesty International? You see them on the corners, in the city particularly. They sort of wear those lanyards and they walk up to you and say, "How's your day?" They're trying to put their dignity, putting their dignity on the line a little bit for the sake of a better cause, to only be ignored by thousands of pedestrians every day. Now, us empathetic individuals really, really do want to help, don't we? Well, the thespians have taken on the responsibility of looking into the world of charitable marketing. Michael Becker and Ian Warwick have explored these ideas with their play How to Change the World and Make Bank Doing It. They are running at the Limelight on Oxford from the 17th of April, and we're very lucky to have director, co-producer and co-writer Michael Becker in the studio. G'day, Michael.
Hi, Mick. Thank you for having me.
Hey, no worries. Thanks for coming on down. I guess first things first, we see the chuggers on the corners, and some people, you know, I don't like to be rude. You know, you like to see them and you say, they ask you how your day was, and they're, "Oh, it's pretty good." But I always seem to see them when I actually am like in a rush, you know. Yeah. I'm on the way to the studio or something, or I'm late to meet someone or whatever. And definitely. So I'm always like, "No, I've got to go." I mean, I'm sure they get every excuse under the book and they get used to it. But what was your first experience of like seeing like a charity person on the street? Did you stop? Did you chat?
Yeah, even if I'm in a huge rush and I'm going to be late to the next thing, something in me always wants to stop and just hear them out, even if I'm completely broke. So yeah, my initial interactions with it were just as a passerby, and then yeah. I got a job doing it for about 5 months.
Okay.
A few years back.
So you had the lanyard and you had the, you
the
know,
clipboard
and you were asking the questions.
Yeah.
What was
yeah.
it like?
It was an amazing experience. It was very difficult. Just, you know, even after the first day of being ignored that many times,
yeah.
And then going to a bar to hang out, I was like, I've never been this confident in my life, because nothing can happen to me here that hasn't happened all day.
Oh, right. So it made you more confident.
Yeah, just resilient, I think, in mm-hmm. that sort of being able to just reach out and not have it reciprocated was sort of just practice and practice.
Probably a good thing for like introverts or people who maybe yeah. struggle to, you know, go talk to people or random people. This really makes you do it, right?
Yeah.
I've seen sometimes those people who you can tell maybe you're fairly new to the job. They're not quite, they're sort of very reserved. And obviously if they're not going to say anything to you, probably not going to stop. So
right.
they probably get to a point where they realize, well, actually I've got to say something. I've got to reach out. Otherwise no one's going to talk to me.
Yeah. And that line of how far do you go, or how pushy or how annoying or how reserved is
sure.
so interesting to Ian and I.
So when was the idea that you went, okay, maybe we can turn this into a bit of a play? Where'd that come from?
I think I'd probably finished doing the work, and then just after a while reflecting back on some of the conversations that I'd had with people, I think were so fascinating, because you're getting such a cross-section of people from
yeah.
all walks of life, and just the conversations themselves seem so theatrical to me, in that you have such a clear objective, you're trying to change someone's point of view or get them to give money, give credit card details, make a commitment of some length of time, which people have such resistance to.
Yeah.
People have such strong objections. So it just struck me as very theatrical thing to happen.
Well, I mean, I like what you say, but there's so many different people you'd meet. Obviously, just random people that happen to stop. Did you find that was a certain sort of person that stopped and talked, or, you know, was it a commonality between them?
Good question. I think so. I think most of the people that stopped wanted to hear you out and wanted to listen, and even if they didn't end up signing up, you could feel that there was a part of them that was empathetic and that did feel for the people that you were talking about, that you're trying to help.
Yeah.
So yeah, you end up with nice conversations often, even if it didn't result in what you were trying to get.
Any friendships? Like, you know, you exchange numbers with people?
I did actually, yeah. I've got a few friends years after that
yeah.
I just became friends with after having good chats, and ended up going to music gigs or things like that with and kept in touch.
What do you think of people who, I guess, are quite negative towards them because they think, well, they're getting paid to do that anyway, and so they don't need me to stop. I'd rather just jump online and do it myself, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I guess you would have got that a lot. People just saying, "Oh, I don't want to hand over my details to someone on the street." How do you deal with that?
Yeah, definitely. Well, yeah, people have a lot of resistance to getting their credit card details out, for sure.
Yeah.
Yes, well, so a few different reasons, I suppose. Some people if they haven't heard of the charity or they don't know that it, you know, if it's not one of the famous names, then they're not sure about the integrity of it. People have assumptions about how long they need to commit to, or that, yeah, if things are done online, I suppose that would save money. So it's sort of like, why are you being paid to do it when that money could just be going to the cause itself? So, yeah, all of that all plays into people's...
I guess so.
Now, the play is called How to Change the World and Make Bank Doing It. Long title.
longest of the season.
I guess it's fairly self-explanatory, but the Make Bank Doing It, I sort of was like, you know, can you make bank doing this?
Well, that's the interesting thing is that sometimes you can if you're really good, because with different charities, there are bonuses. So you've got an hourly wage, but then if you get a certain number, you start getting bonuses that sort of could just never end depending on how good you are. So that struck me as quite ironic that depending on how charismatic and influential you are, you could make quite a bit of money working for charity.
Yeah, fair enough. Now, this play, it kicked off the Fringe last year, Sydney Fringe, but I believe it's a little bit different this time around. How was the reception then, and what have you sort of changed around?
Yeah, Fringe was great. We had 5 performances, and then after that, we went away into our cave and debriefed, and then have really written a new show. So the spirit of it is the same, and some characters and scenes have stayed the same, but the actual plot is completely different.
Right.
Yeah.
Could you sort of detect some characters that really resonated with the crowd? Because I'm sure, you know, there's a bunch of different people. Is there certain ones you're like, oh, that's the best character, we've got to amp up their performance?
Yeah, definitely. And some of the passerbys as well. It was really interesting as the director sitting behind the audience, because there are moments where boyfriends or girlfriends would sort of turn to each other with looks of recognition at responses that they'd had or things that people were saying and doing. So it was cool to see people recognize things from the play.
I think it's something that everyone can relate to as well, because, you know, we've all been there. We've all either chatted to some charity muggers, or we've actually, you know, given their money to... I signed up once to I can't remember which one it was. It was an animal foundation thing,
right.
And they were showing me about the elephants getting, you know, tied down, and certain players are like, yeah, I like this. I looked them up the spot, like, before I signed up. I had my phone. And went, I'm just going to look
I'll
it
just
up.
Check.
just want to see what they do. And it's like, all right, I'll put some down. When you're feeling, I guess, sometimes you're feeling happy and you're feeling positive, and you feel like, oh yeah, this is my day. I'm going to give some money to a good charity. I think it's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
Now, you are the everything, the director, co-producer, co-writer, you yourself, Ian.
Yeah.
When you were writing this, to just sort of just sit in a room, the two of you, and just throw a few ideas around, did you go out and talk to some more friends or people who work for charities to sort of get some more ideas?
Yeah, both. Yeah, a lot of it is us. Ian has experience in that field as well, so a lot of it is pulled from conversations that we've had, that we've remembered, that just struck us as needing, you know, when those moments happen, go, this is going straight in the play.
Yeah, right.
Other friends, or just stopping to chat to people on the street.
Doing research for
a bit of research. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I did that once around the time of Fringe and ended up signing up when I hadn't anticipated. So, and then other friends that write, you know, take a look in the writing process as well and give feedback.
And I believe this is your theatrical debut as a director.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so Fringe was the first time, but this is my first time as a part of a program season. So it feels more official. Yeah, I'm excited.
And you did some directing of short films and things like that, and you worked in New York as well?
Yeah, I was an assistant director in New York for a festival where we spent the summer just doing show after show after show in these 3-week
Great.
Runs. So yeah, I did 6 shows as an AD at this festival called Frenchwoods, and studied film as well, so I do short films and...
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, you got to get out there and try everything, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Until you find that one thing you really want to do.
Yeah.
So this kicks off in a couple of weeks. It's at Limelight on Oxford, which is a great theatre, if anyone's checked it out. And I'm just trying to find when it's the 17th of April. It kicks off, goes till 27th of April, Wednesday, Thursday, Fridays, matinees on Saturdays as well. Mm-hmm. You can jump onto limelightonoxford.com.au to find the website. Anything else the crowd should know about?
I think people all know what it's like to either pass by or stop and have the chat. But I think what's interesting to me that we've tried to explore is what's happening before and after that. It's really an office comedy, but the office is in public. So it's how do all the office drama, you know, the interactions between all the co-workers play out when that's the job.
Yeah, interesting. The office is the street.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
how to change the world and make bank doing it. We've just been chatting to Michael Becker, one of the co-writers and director of it. Thanks so much for joining us at 2SER.
Thank you, Mick.